I mean, I'm for that.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, man, if there's nothing to hide, come on.
Show us the UFOs, you cowards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Tether Radio Podcast, the only podcast keeping you from spiraling out into the infinite abyss. I'm your host, Daniel, and I'm joined, as always, by Allie.
Hey.
What's up? I like your new greeting.
Oh, man. What's new?
Dude, well, we are officially under contract on a new house and selling our other house, or our current house, so I can basically go back to sleeping at night.
Finally.
No.
Good, because you were getting weird.
Yeah. No, dude, I'm telling you, this wrecked me, and I'm totally going to go TMI on this, but... No kidding, I found out that when I'm under, like, very, very highly stressful situations, I'm pretty sure I have IBS.
Oh, yeah, I think a lot of people get that way.
It is, like, this week has been terrible, I will leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like my stomach and intestines have just been in knots all week.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
As I chug my... Venti Starbucks that is not helping the situation.
I thought of you and having too much caffeine because I walked by some K-Cups yesterday and they were like, it was some Starbucks thing and it said, double the caffeine. And I said out loud to the box, I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. My God, dude, I'd be fucking orbiting the planet.
God.
Holy hell.
Tether Radio, where we are not tethered anymore.
Yes. We're both sweating and shaking, and it's not from withdrawal.
Dude, I just like poked around town yesterday a little bit, and I went to TJ Maxx, and I bought so much random shit.
Really?
Because it was like yesterday, like we've not turned our heat on at the house. I don't know. Have you guys?
Nah, okay. Not at all.
It's we both like being cold, so and especially like we put big fluffy blankets on, and we're all cozy. I guess I was just in this cozy mood where I'm also like, I can finally wear socks that are not just my thin athletic summer socks.
Yeah.
So, like, what a weird thing to be excited about. But
it's the little things.
It's the little thing, dude. Yeah. I love good socks.
Yeah.
But, so, I'm at TJ Maxx and I'm like, just in this cozy bullshit mindset.
Yeah.
So I bought some boot socks and I bought a couple, like, fall-scented candles.
Yeah.
I got one that was burnt caramel and pumpkin, and
whoa.
It smells like heaven.
God, that sounds incredible.
It's so good. Yeah. I'm like, I should go back and get another one. I really might. It was really good. And then I also got one that's vanilla latte, which is so good.
Yeah.
But, I got, like, fleece-lined leggings.
Oh, yeah.
I just got all this, like, cozy shit.
So
I'm like,
this
what
is
am
gonna,
I doing?
This is really random, but I actually randomly came across an article the other day about, like, here's 10 things that you need for this winter.
Yeah.
And fleece-lined stockings...
They're amazing.
...were, like, number two or something like that.
I mean,
that,
I guess you've not wore them as a dude, right?
No, but I am open to it.
I'm
like,
telling you,
you've
man.
Seen my athleisure. Fuck.
Well, we brought up how you dressed up as Callie for Halloween a couple years ago. We were talking about that this week.
Yeah.
And you rocked those leggings.
Thank you.
Everybody
thank
was
you.
Like, Daniel looks better in leggings than any of us. This is some bullshit.
I should have started wearing leggings
it,
to work.
Whatever. You'd have got more tips.
No, yeah, no shit, dude. Bring the ladder back and the chalkboard.
Oh,
put Daniel's
God.
Ass up there in leggings.
Everybody just like spills their beer looking at your ass.
God.
The men are like, am I gay? I guess I'm gay.
Yeah. That's awesome. Shut up and get in. We're doing butt stuff.
But anyway, fleece-lined leggings.
Yeah.
I've had them before. They're so good.
Yeah.
Like, even to swear around the house, you're just like, I am the coziest bitch.
Yeah, that's awesome,
they're
dude.
So nice.
God, so I full disclosure, I actually sometimes do wear running tights underneath jeans on really cold days.
Sure, man.
So
when it
gets to like the 20s outside, I'm probably gonna toss those bad boys
off.
Because we're kind of like you guys in that we'll probably throw our heat on like 65.
Yeah, that's
and so if it's above 65, dude, we're
cruising. I think we put ours on like maybe 67
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Like,
which I guess we probably should revisit that and see, make sure that Finn isn't freezing in his room.
So you don't
at
have
night.
A kid-sickle.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god. So,
yeah, and like both the cats have fur and we both like wearing like warm pants at the house and stuff.
So. Oh yeah. No, I'm especially with like a lot of like work from home stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think winter is really going to be embraced by
we're all just
going to
be snuggle monsters this whole
seriously.
Winter.
We'll meet at the pint in our like coziest sweatsuits and stuff. Oh man, but anyway. So how was your week?
It was good. Yeah. It was good. I forgot about one of my favorite Halloween traditions.
Oh, what's up?
Which is looking at all the weird, sexy costumes on Yandy.
Oh, yes!
Yeah!
Yes!
I've done
oh
it for like
God.
10 years!
Yes!
So me and Nikki were looking at them at the bar Friday, and there was a sexy absentee ballot, I think.
Sexy absentee ballot.
I screenshotted a few that were really good. I'll throw some of these in the newsletter.
And this is yandy.com,
yep,
right?
Just like it sounds, like candy, but with a Y.
Yeah.
Okay, this one was dated, but do you remember the op-ed letter that was like anonymously written that was a whole thing?
Yes, yeah I do.
There's a sexy anonymous op-ed.
Oh my god.
That's it's fantastic.
Incredible.
There's a sexy Hannibal Lecter, which
what
you hate to see it.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm giving on air responses every time that Allie calls out one of these costumes. She's holding her phone up and letting me actually see the costume, and it's pretty fucking ridiculous.
Okay, these last two though, they win for my favorites.
Yeah.
Sexy Beyond Burger. Which is just like a burger tube dress, but with a hat that says plant-based.
That's amazing.
And a sexy murder hornet. That's on
that's
brand for the
awesome.
Year.
Yeah,
like, that
no
is
kidding.
That is on topic.
Yeah. My God. So the only things that we're missing is a sexy dumpster fire. And
maybe I should be a dumpster fire. I came up with my costume the other day and I'm pretty pumped about it. But I'm bad at secrets, but I've told a couple people. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
It's,
cool.
It's like a
play
on words.
We'll do a reveal on the last episode.
Yeah.
Before, before Halloween.
Yeah.
So.
Oh,
what's up?
I have a goofy thing to tell you.
Yeah.
So the kitten, she's adorable and she's snuggly, but when she wants to play, she still gets all her claws out.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah. So, they're like needles.
Oh my gosh. And like no matter what blanket I have on, they go right through the blanket and she likes to get my feet. I'm like, ow.
Yeah.
So a couple Saturdays ago, I wake up and like, usually on a Saturday, I'll wake up but I'll like read or play on my phone and doze back off and I won't actually get out of bed till like 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse will wake up at like 7 and he'll sort of do the same thing. Like he'll play on his phone and stuff and then he'll eventually get up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was doing that, and I kept, like, sort of waking up, and I'd, like, talk to him for a second. It's, like, 7:30. I'm like, I'm not getting up. It's Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the kitten thinks it's time to play. So I'm, like, dozing back off, and then she attacks my feet. And I'm like, no, stop. And I'm, like, half asleep, and I, like, kick her off. And then I just doze back off, and then she gets my feet again. And I'm like, ow, stop. And then I finally... I'm, like, asleep.
Yeah.
And I wake up, and my voice is all gravelly, and I go, that's it? And I like sit straight up like a zombie and I repeat it and I go, that's it. I like pick her up and set her in the floor. Yeah. And I don't know why, but we laughed so hard.
That's it.
So like now we say it all the time. Like it's become
that's
like
it?
Yeah. And I heard someone say it somewhere the other day, not in the gravelly voice, but someone was just like, yeah, that's it. And I was like, that's it.
That's awesome. Oh my god, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Man, you're talking about like sleeping in till like 10 or 11 and I'm just, you know, like drooling over the fact that when Megan and I accidentally forget to reset Finn's clock, then it won't turn green at 8 and he'll normally play a little bit after before he starts yelling and I'm like, oh my god, we got to sleep until 8:30 today. It has been a good day.
Yeah, My parents taught me, like, before I could tell time or anything, I had a digital clock, and they taught me what 10 o'clock looked like.
Really?
And I was to just play quietly by myself until it said that, and then I could wake them up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because they were just, they were light sleepers,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, man, you guys had it good. Like, if I was, if I knew, like, I'm, like, 4 yeah. or something, yeah. and I'm just quietly, like, playing with My Little Pony or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lord.
No, dude. Well, that's what we've kind of, well, obviously. That sounds like he doesn't, sort of yeah, yeah, he can't read time yet. Sure, but sure. he's also 3. So.
Yeah. And I don't remember, like, but I just remember, like, what it looked yeah. like. I didn't know what it meant or yeah. anything. But, like, when I look like that, then I could wake him up.
Yeah. No, and that's what, because that, and but my God, anybody that's out there trying to get your child to, I don't know, at least play quietly until a certain time. I'll have to look up the specific clock, but they have clocks out there that basically, this one turns yellow 30 minutes before he's allowed to start yelling for us.
Oh, that's neat. So then you know you're, it's almost
it's
time.
Almost, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so then at, we've got his set on 8.
Yeah.
And once it turns green, it's absolutely hilarious because we'll be like watching our clock. Or, like, our watches or phones.
Yeah.
And it'll hit 8 o'clock, and I'm like, Megan, it's green. And then, like, 2 seconds later, you hear, Daddy, Daddy, it's green! It's green light! It's the green light! And I was like, okay, it's green, I got it. But, yeah, man, that has been an absolute, like, godsend for him. So, I was trying to think of what, honestly, the vast majority of our week was showing our house,
yeah,
and like scrambling over to my parents so that we'd still have internet so Megan could work. So, so it wasn't. It was exciting in that sense, but it was also terrible in that sense.
Sure,
in that
just same hectic. Sense.
Yeah, I was talking to Allie a little bit before the show, and just like not living in a house that you're not really allowed to live in is really shitty.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But we made it through it, so whatever. We've already got some ideas. Megan and I already have some ideas for what the new studio is going to be in cool. the new house. So I use the word studio very loosely. but we actually might be able to put up some kind of like oh my God.
Soundproofing
cool. kind of stuff. Cool. Yeah, cool. In the new place. So so stand by. Hopefully I know sometimes I'll come through a little bit more echoey, but hopefully that will be righted at the new location.
I think that's in your head. No one else thinks that.
It probably is in my head. But the voices, I can't make them stop, Allie. let's see. So for intro stuff this week, we finished Class Action Park yesterday. We actually watched it in its entirety yeah. with my family.
The last part's sad, though, right?
So I completely get where they were coming from.
Yeah.
It is a supreme abrupt, like, yeah. like, oh, this is so silly. Look, people are getting hurt. To my kid fucking died, and exactly. I'm not over this.
Yeah, it's like, not. Like,
I mean, the lady is quoted as saying something like, if I would have had access to, like, a gun, then I'd kill the park guy or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was intense. But, yeah. I mean, shit, dude. It was, which I, the guy that died, there were multiple people. I think they mentioned 4 people in the movie. But the one that died was actually on this Alpine Slopes ride.
Okay.
And he, like, flipped off and hit his head on a
yeah,
rock
yeah.
that they were supposed to have removed.
Of course.
And the basically, they came to a settlement in court for $100,000 for a fucking kid's life.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, the biggest issue is the fact that the park ride did not cause the death. The rock caused the death.
Yeah, but, like, the rock shouldn't have been, like...
I mean, no. I mean, it was
also, the
so
safety
ridiculous.
Of the ride...
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been able to come off of it so far to hit
yeah.
a rock.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But no, I would 100% recommend that documentary to anybody. Keep in mind, it does kind of take a little bit darker turn toward the end because people did lose their lives at this,
yeah.
this action park place. So.
It's sad.
But,
it's still,
yeah.
It's fascinating. But...
It was honestly, the most fascinating thing about it was the fact that it could stay open for like 20 years.
Yeah, pretty much 20 years.
I mean, it was, that's just mind-boggling to me. Like, but anyway, so if you got HBO or if you've got a login from somebody or whatever, check out Class Action Park on there. So the other thing that I had was, my God, so our son has figured out how to use FaceTime, and he and this other little girl, Madeline, really like to FaceTime each other.
Yeah.
And he was like, I swear, you know how they have like twin speak between twins?
Yeah.
It's like they're babbling, but like but somehow they know what they mean.
Yeah.
Dude, I swear that's like how it was. It was the funniest thing. Like, he'd run around and he'd be like, let me show you my car. And then he'd like hold the phone up to the car or whatever. Yeah. And she's like, oh, wow, let me show you my baby. And then she'd like show the baby. And he's like, let me show you the pumpkin. They were literally just showing each other all this shit.
That's so fun.
It was so funny. It was so funny. But I was just like, I don't know. It's just weird to watch your kid grow up and like learn how to do new shit.
Yeah.
And like be that much more independent.
Yeah.
Which, double-edged sword, I'm super stoked that he's independent.
Sure.
But obviously it's like,
it breaks your heart a little. You're like, show me your car.
Yeah, show me your car. You don't need to hold my hand down the stairs anymore.
You don't need help showing your car?
Yeah, exactly. but anyway, so that's about all I got for this week and stuff. So so we can go ahead and, oh, no, never mind. That's for Untethered.
Oh.
Stay tuned, y'all. Thursday, we are doing Untethered episode 7.
Yep. As far as we know.
I think. Episode 7, we are continuing with recommendations for spooky stuff for the month of October.
Yeah.
So we got episode 7 and then episode 8 that is going to be recommendations for that stuff. So stay tuned, and those are every Thursday. How do we want to cruise into episode 120 of the Tether Radio podcast?
I've got one I'm dying to tell you.
Yeah, let's do it.
I told Jesse about this last night because I was like, I can't wait to tell Daniel this one. Okay, I have a new word for you. I'm going to let you swallow that swig of coffee, and then I'm going to float this word.
Okay. All right, ready to rock. All right.
Teledildonics.
Yes! I love teledildonics. That was, we actually covered this on a really early
It might have been this, because this is an old episode, Jesus, old article, but it's smart sex toys.
So, the thing that we covered was, people that, it was either a box that you could, like, if you were a male, that you could put your stuff in.
Sure.
Or it was a dildo that basically somebody across the world could control the dildo.
This is sort of that, but this one specifically.
I saw this headline and I'm super stoked.
Good. my own headline for my notes is erotica, but make it Internet of Things.
Yes.
So this is from January of 2016, and sadly, I don't think that this product is still for sale. There might be other things out there that are like it that are, but erotica's not my thing, so I mean, I didn't really look that hard myself. Yeah. But so there was a French Internet of Things startup called eSensory, and they had this product called the Little Bird, and it is a cute egg-shaped, they called it cute.
Yeah.
Weird. A cute egg-shaped vibrator that connects to your phone via Bluetooth and syncs with erotic fiction ebooks available for purchase on their platform. So then as the user reads, she can touch the words on screen or blow on the phone if her hands are otherwise occupied to trigger a sequence of vibrations that go along with the story. So they, like, have the author tell them where
this is
certain things should
now we
be
need a
book.
Level 3 buzz right here and increasing, I mean, to 7.
Dude, I've read a couple of those like bodice ripper books that like my mom had laying around, and I'm like, gross, like just watch porn, I don't know. This is not for me. But the only thing I've really dived into much is my dad wrote a porno, which is a dream just because how awkward it is.
Oh, I'm in season 3 right now.
I gotta get back to it. That's such
amazing.
A break from everything.
It is.
It's amazing. To the listeners, guys, this podcast is called My Dad Wrote a Porno, and this guy's dad wrote an erotic fiction book and self-published it, and the guy just reads it chapter by chapter, and two of his friends comment, and it is like, do not even try to listen to this like in the grocery store, because you will just be gasping for air laughing.
Yeah. And
people will be like, what are you laughing about? You're like, that her tits hung like pomegranates. That's yes, what I'm laughing about. Yes. Like, oh, it's so weird.
He's, dude, his use of similes is incredible.
It's so funny. Anyway, so back to this thing. Yeah, pretty much they just said that they were going to try to have a new era in porn. And I hate that it doesn't sound like they made it. Because these articles, I found a handful of basically the same article on a bunch of platforms from January of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found one article from 2017 where they were trying to crowdsource.
Mm.
And that was all.
I feel like it would actually work a little bit better if it was like with a like Audible book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and the only
reason
I say that is because then it's like you have timestamps that you can be like,
and you don't even have to be looking at
exactly.
it. You could be looking at whatever you wanted to.
Yeah. You're going to talk about sensory overload. Fuck.
I'm listening to one porn. I'm watching another.
Yeah. My God. Don't kink shame me.
Teledildonics, though.
Teledildonics is quite possibly one of the best words.
It's a good word.
It really
is.
It's
a good word.
Yeah, I completely agree. That does suck, though, that it didn't...
I know!
I mean,
there may be. I know there are plenty of things in the teledildonic world where...
Under the teledildonics umbrella.
I just don't know that, like, that there's much erotica that... And although I'm really in a lot of, like, book communities and stuff, I'm not really in a lot of romance.
Yeah.
Like, those are kind of their own groups, and I don't really...
Is that... I mean, because, honestly, when I think of, like, there aren't they kind of referred to as, like, Harlequin romances?
I think that's its own thing.
Oh, is it?
I'm not sure what Harlequin means, but...
Yeah.
I know a big way to differentiate is when you're talking about a book having sex scenes at all, like, instead of just saying steamy, because people have different definitions of that.
Yeah.
The pretty common way that I see it broken down is closed door versus open door.
Hmm.
So closed door will be like, they implied that they banged.
Yeah.
And open door will be like, here is all the details about the banging.
Yeah.
So.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's a pretty good way to differentiate that,
yeah.
I think. But.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get like secondhand embarrassed when there's a sex scene in a book. I'm like, this is awkward. I shouldn't be looking. This is personal between them because
yeah.
I'm some sort of a nerd. I don't know.
So, and I don't know if you know this or not, but
yeah.
like in the scheme of, I guess that would be under fiction, right?
Yeah.
So in the scheme of the fiction umbrella, I wonder what like. How many people are really, like, into erotica novels versus, like, whatever, science fiction or, like, horror or
dude,
whatever?
Dude, I think it's big. I think a lot of,
really?
I mean, obviously women, but
yeah,
I think
yeah.
a lot of women like to read that stuff.
And do you think it's, I mean, do you think, like, average age for, like, that demographic?
I think that goes all
think?
Over the place,
really?
Too, because, like, I know friends my age and younger that
yeah.
are into it, but, like, my mom reads that junk.
Yeah.
And so my mom now... She never reads anything that's a paper book. She only reads on a Kindle.
Yeah.
And she puts the font huge. So, like...
Oh, God.
Dude,
oh
I was
God.
At the beach, and I looked over, and I was like, what's mom reading? And I was like, no!
You just see the word veiny, and
dude,
you're just like,
was,
no, no,
I wish
no.
I could remember what it was, but it was so big. Like, picture a Kindle screen, but with only, like, 6 words on it. Like, she's just reading
yeah.
headline
yeah.
size. And I'm like... Mom, put that down.
Yeah.
People are walking behind
yeah.
you.
That's awesome, though, that she's just like, fuck it, man. I like this
shit. She always
shit,
has been.
So,
I mean,
you know.
When I was younger and she was reading the stuff that looks like Fabio on the cover
yeah.
and stuff, like, you know what that is.
Yeah. Oh, I've been to the grocery before.
When I read the first 50 Shades book just to hate read it,
yeah.
I was reading it on a Kindle and I was like, thank God people can't. Like, if I'm like sitting at a coffee
yeah.
shop or something, people aren't like, okay.
Dude, speaking of that, I think I told you about my aunts and the 50 Shades.
I think, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
What was it?
So we were driving up, we went up to Virginia to go to a 70th birthday for one of my uncles.
Okay.
And I've got a bunch of family in Abingdon, and then we were going up to Roanoke, which is about 2 hours north of Abingdon, in Virginia. And so we went up, and we decided to carpool with my two aunts, because one of my aunts had a, she had like this, one of those fucking like behemoth Suburbans.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like, you could literally, you could paint it yellow and it's a fucking school bus, like. And so so they're like, well, you have to drive, Daniel, and because you're the youngest or whatever. And I was like, whatever, fuck it, I'll drive. So I'm driving this, like, tank of a car. And for some reason, one of my aunts brings up that she just read 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. And my other aunt was like, oh, yeah, I just read that, too.
Yeah.
And so they start talking about, like, what their favorite part was.
Please
and
do
stuff.
Not.
Yeah, and I was like, Megan and I are in the front seat.
You're like, I'm in the car!
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like, what is going on? Well, apparently there's some part that, like, the guy gets the girl to put something up in her, and then they go to, like, a dance, kind of, or a formal or something like that.
He's got, like, a remote to it.
Yes, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Teledildonics. But it was also something about, like, the more that the woman moved, then she was stimulated more.
Oh, jeez.
And so my aunt's explaining this, and she's like, I mean, I don't know what the girl's problem was. I would have been cutting a rug out there. And I was like, oh, God, Aunt Alice, no!
Please!
But she was just like, I would have taken full advantage of that. Or whatever. And they're just cackling while Megan and I are like dry heaving in the front seat. Or whatever. It was just, it was a very interesting
That's
trip,
what cracked me up is like reading that first one. I was like, if you want to read erotica, go for it. But this one sucks. Like, the scenes were so, like, he would, like, glance at her across the room, and she'd have, like, an explosive orgasm. And I was like, excuse me? What?
Man,
also,
this is
that sounds like a
fiction.
Disorder.
Like, that sounds like
you need to see somebody.
You need to get that checked out, dude. That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, rock and roll. Well, this has been your Tether Radio update in the teledildonics realm. So I'm. Can I just rant for a second?
Always.
All right. I saw this from the Next Web, and it just it immediately pissed me off. But the thing is I think that it's getting some traction, and I'm glad that it's getting traction.
Okay.
But I don't know if you've read, but your new iPhone 12 will be shipping without a charger or ear pods.
I did see that.
So Apple is putting this behind the veil of, hey, we're gonna have less e-waste. Because
I mean, to be fair, how many chargers do you have?
Very true.
But
and I actually really liked what this this author from the Next Web, what they were kind of recommending, which obviously
I want to jump the gun and recommend something before we get into it.
Sure.
I think you should have the option of just out of the box, it comes with your usual earbuds and charger because duh.
Yeah.
Like, what if it's your first phone? What if you had an Android before? Whatever. But also, if you don't need that stuff, give me the option to buy it without it and save that money. That's what I think they should do.
So,
because I don't need another charger.
Yeah.
Like, the last, like, three iPhones I've got, probably, the charger is still in the box.
Yeah.
In case I need another 3-foot-long fucking garbage charger.
No, I know. And honestly, full disclosure, most of us already went and bought, like, aftermarket, like, 6, 10-foot, whatever cords that we've got plugged in.
I've got a 10-foot that lives at work. Mm-hmm. I've got a 10-foot downstairs, and I've got a 10-foot by the bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is my life?
Yeah. Well, no. Megan and I did the same thing. So, so this guy was basically like, okay, this is what sucks is Apple knows that they're fucking the consumer and they're just saying, hey, but what about the environment kind of thing? And this is why they know this.
Yeah.
So they took both those items out of the box.
Yeah.
Then they dropped the price of the EarPods from $29 to $19.
Okay.
And then they put out a new 20-watt charger, which I think the old one's like 18-watt or something, which, whatever.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. And that costs $19. So what this guy is recommending is Apple to basically do the phone without the ear pods and charger.
Yeah.
And then give everybody a $38 voucher to like the Apple store or whatever and say, hey, if you don't have it and need it, there you go.
Yeah.
And if you know, if you don't need it, then you can spend this
towards something
else or whatever.
Put a dent toward your AirPods.
Yeah. Which then you're basically, you're not screwing the consumer, and Apple also is still making fucking money hand over fist. And you're also reducing waste, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because obviously people, you know, people aren't going to buy chargers if they don't need them, kind of thing. But it's just, which this has actually gotten a lot of traction.
Yeah.
And people are just like, look, Apple, go fuck yourself about this, like, environmental stuff. Because if you really wanted to affect the environment, you'd embrace universal charging standards like USB-C instead of this fucking lightning bullshit that is a proprietary thing, you know? And I mean, so it just seems like it is a weakly veiled like money grab.
I just like, I love having AirPods, and whenever mine shit the bed, I'll buy a cheaper brand because I'm not like, they don't need to be super great quality or whatever.
Yeah.
But I love the concept.
Yeah.
But I also like, say if I'm gonna be somewhere for a long time, like a long like car trip or something, and I might not be able to charge them, I would like to be able to take spare headphones with me.
Yeah.
And I don't have headphones that'll plug into, because it's like, no.
That's not
old headphones with a normal fucking headphone jack that should be able to plug into anything that plays sound.
Yep.
God damn it.
No. I'm telling you, I'm really hoping that there's going to be enough pushback. I'm not holding my breath by any stretch, because Apple is part of big tech, and look no further than big tech for the massive arrogant assholes. So they'll be like, I mean, you know, why are you gonna buy an Apple iPhone? Because it's fucking Apple. That's why you're gonna fucking buy it, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, whatever. But I don't know. It was one of these things that it would be different if they were just. It rubs me the wrong way, because I feel like it's saving them money in a slew of different ways.
And not at all the consumer.
And it's not helping the consumer at all.
And part of that is because Apple wants their prices to be nice and neat. Yeah. And it's not going to be the same to sell your phone for $1,102 or something instead of $1,149 or whatever.
Exactly. It's just, I don't know. I'm interested to see if they somehow, maybe not walk it back, but like give out vouchers or something for like a free charger. Like,
they won't, because they don't care.
Yeah, and I know, and I agree. Honestly, the headphones thing, I have less of an issue with them getting rid of headphones.
Yeah, like, I don't need it to come with headphones. Yeah. I want a damn headphone jack.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But I did like how this dude wrapped this article.
Yeah.
He was like, but yeah, at least we can now save $10 on accessories we need to buy for our $1,000 iPhone to work.
God, because, right.
I mean, think about it. Like you said, if that's your first iPhone, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Now it's $1,019, you know? But anyway, so that's my tech rant for today. Apple, get your shit together. My God. Actually do something for the consumer and quit having it loosely veiled as being a good option for the environment.
See, I really hate that. Like,
seems cheap.
Like, I think it's pretty cool. If I bought a pair of jeans from Gap, and they had a thing on them about, like, how the way that they make them uses a lot less water because, like, clothing manufacturing uses a shit ton of water and it's really wasteful. So, like, it had a little thing. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, it's like the way we made these jeans saved 60 gallons of water versus or whatever. And I'm like, that's neat.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me.
Yeah.
But if you want to tell me these jeans cost $10 more because we saved water, I'm like, or because you get that $10?
Yeah.
Like, which one is it?
It's so, like, oh, well, actually, if you want jeans with two pant legs, that's going to be an additional $10.
And I will pay an upgrade for some front pockets, please.
God, dude. Honestly, I feel sorry for women. Like, I can't tell you. Like, I've done a shit ton of Megan's laundry.
Yeah.
And, like, I always check my pockets for stuff to be in them.
Yeah.
And I, like, shove my hand down in Megan's pocket and get, like, maybe to the first, like, knuckle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you supposed to put in this?
A small, like, chapstick.
I mean, yeah, if you want half of it to hang out.
Like, the other day, I had, I stuck my AirPods in my pocket, mm-hmm. and I have my knife in one pocket and chapstick in the other pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my AirPods in the chapstick pocket, and that was it. Like, that was, and they were, like, poking out the top. I'm like, yeah. This is the saddest bullshit. Like, yeah. They're tiny, and a chapstick. Like,
I mean, but
what?
What? I don't understand how that came to be.
I don't know.
Like, what? I mean, honestly, if they put pockets on women's pants, they probably wouldn't need purses at that point.
I mean, no, I've got all kinds of
stuff. Well, yeah, I know.
That was
quite the leap. My apologies. Allie's like, don't you fucking take my bag away.
Dude, I've started carrying a metal straw. Like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it came in a little... like a canvas bag, yeah. And then it's got its own little, like, pipe cleaner thing to go with it.
Oh, that's cool.
So I just clean it when I'm done, and then I reuse it.
Yeah.
Like, it's handy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but, yeah. Like, I have everything in my, like, I have a little arsenal in my purse.
Dude, and I, honestly, if it was more widely accepted for dudes to carry, like, bags.
Man.
I mean, fanny packs are kind of coming back.
I mentioned to a guy at the bar, I don't know what time is anymore, sometime this year. I was like, hey, man, I like your bag. And, like, we had a whole discussion, and his girlfriend was there with him, and she was just rolling her eyes, and he's like, she likes my bag. And he's like, it's just a man purse. Like, honestly, like, but it was, like, a small messenger bag.
Yeah.
But he's like, dude, I'm jealous. Women get to carry all their stuff. Like, I got all kinds of stuff in here. I got a notebook. I got a pen. I'm like, yeah, buddy, I feel ya.
Yeah. Dude, no, honestly, I've seen a decent number of, and now I think mainly this is kind of an more Asian thing,
yeah.
But like getting the fanny packs and wearing it like a sling.
Oh yeah. Kind of thing. That was trendy. Like when we were in college, oh, like yeah. That was with the nicer fanny packs that they sell like REI and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did that for a little while. It's pretty handy because the bigger ones you can fit a lot of stuff in, and then you don't have to wear it on your hips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I feel like if you're wearing a fanny pack like on your hips,
yeah,
you're doing like one of two things. You're either a bodybuilder that has like I don't know protein powders,
or you're
something,
going to Dollywood.
Or you're going, yeah, or you're on vacation kind of thing at like an amusement park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
But yeah, so Apple, fuck you once again. give me my charger. And oh, they are doing one thing that's kind of neat, but obviously this is also an aftermarket additional charge. The new iPhones are going to be able to do like fast charging wirelessly.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
yeah,
I don't know. Keep an eye out on that.
I was looking at those magnetic cases that they're doing and stuff. That's pretty neat. Like
magnetic cases.
So like. You buy the case that's theirs and proprietary and way overpriced.
Yeah.
And then it's still
Does it have an Apple logo on it?
I'm sure. I'm sure. No, it does.
It's probably cut out.
Yeah. And then you can... It's like embossed in it.
Yeah.
And then you can also buy like the little like wallet attachments that you can put a couple cards in.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's just like a strong magnet so it sticks. But then you can take it off to like wirelessly charge it.
Huh, okay.
So the magnet... helps it line up right on the charger.
Yeah.
So even though you've got a case, it still lines up just right.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, oh, that's neat, but am I going to pay, what, $89 for a one-color case? Nope.
Yeah. No, I'll let a lot of other people do that, and then the knockoffs that come out, I'll grab one of those.
I will buy one at TJ Maxx in a couple months.
Exactly. Where are you going to go from here?
Did you hear that we have canceled Kraft mac and cheese?
No, I didn't.
Well,
what's up?
We have not. QAnon.
Oh, no. QAnon strikes again.
We gotta get into it.
Let's do it.
Hey, it's a fun one. It's dumb, so.
Yeah.
Kraft Mac and Cheese had this, like, campaign called Send Nudes.
I think that's pretty funny,
It's so
honestly.
Funny. So, Here's a picture. It says, why go out when you can stay home and send nudes? But nudes is blurred and the bowl of mac and cheese is blurred.
That's pretty awesome.
And nudes is spelled the way, like, noodles would be short.
Yeah.
So, the way this was written on BuzzFeed News says that their jokey marketing campaign encouraging people to send nudes quickly descended into a hellfire. After angry moms ravaged their Instagram posts, saying the company was sexualizing mac and cheese and it was being predatory toward children.
What?
This is such a stretch, you sons of bitches.
Dude, I feel like this is very reminiscent of the child trafficking stuff.
It gets into that.
Really?
It really fucking does.
I mean, it's like...
like...
you can't fit a child in a box of macaroni.
Right? So, like, some customers didn't find this bit funny, saying it was wildly inappropriate because Kraft is a family company. Many threatened to take their business to Annie's, another purveyor of mac and cheese.
Purveyor of mac and cheese!
Yeah. So, here's some comments. This is not okay. Don't you realize that a huge portion of the people who actually eat your mac and cheese are children? And then another one. Please delete this. Unacceptable. Switching over to Annie's Organics.
See, I would argue that stat. I would think that the largest demographic that eats mac and cheese
college
is
kids.
College kids. Yeah. And honestly, they're into nudes.
Sure. several people, like BuzzFeed News, reached out to some of these commenters.
Yes.
And they confirmed that they had young kiddos. And that they were profoundly concerned about the campaign's cheeky and sexual inference because children eat mac and cheese.
I mean,
guys,
children
do all kinds of things.
Yeah, the children aren't going to get it either.
No,
I feel like this is a solid joke.
But it doesn't say, like, send nudes of children.
Yeah.
Like, where are you even? This is such a stretch.
It is such a stretch.
Another comment. I do not want my boys growing up and seeing a commercial where they joke about the exploitation of children.
That is a fucking supreme stretch.
How are we?
It literally just says send nudes.
It should send nudes. Another one said that Kraft is marketing in a way that grooms children into believing it's okay and even funny to send nudes. Guys. There are things to worry about in the world, and it is not mac and cheese.
Dude, this is one of those, like, situations that really angers me, because it's like when you read a book and somebody, and I know I've probably already ranted about this on the podcast before, but don't worry, I'm up for round two. But it's like when you read a book and it's like, oh, the woman looked out the window and saw a bird flying by. And they're like, what do you think that would actually meant?
Oh my God, it's literally a bird.
Just a bird. Yeah, exactly. And somebody in the back of the class, like, raises their hand. They're like, well, the bird signifies, like...
the passing of time. Yeah. No, it's eternal.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It's a bird.
It's
a damn
it's a
bird.
Fucking bird. The
Shut
one is looking at the bird. Shut up, Travis. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they're just like, multiple women use the joke to espouse their fears and conspiracies about mass child trafficking happening in secret by the so-called deep state, a false narrative espoused by those who follow the QAnon collective delusion.
That is just, dude, that, I mean.
Guys.
Yeah.
And Kraft was basically like, dude, whatever. Like,
I'm glad that they're not even batting a lash at that.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
They talked to, I forget who it was, but some spokesperson of Kraft, and they said the whole gimmick was to get people to mail mac and cheese boxes to their friends and family, and they had over 20,000 consumers receiving boxes of mac and cheese. So, like, you did good, guys.
Yeah.
Way to go.
That sounds like a successful marketing campaign.
Way to exploit the fucking children.
Oh, that's ridiculous, dude.
Oh,
that is so ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Okay.
What's up?
I have a goofy one.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. My buddy sent me this, and it's a Substack. It's called Moon Crew.
Mm-hmm.
They just cover college football stuff.
Okay.
And they seem to be really fun. I don't really care about college football, but man, they're funny and I'm probably going to keep up with them.
Yeah, yeah.
They do a thing called the Top Whatever. That's just a weekly ranking of things college yeah. football related.
I like this.
So one of them from October 12th, please do yourself a favor and go to mooncrew.substack.com. And I will link that in the newsletter. Our newsletter is tetherradio.substack.com.
Yeah.
And, It is so funny. I'm just going to read some parts of it. But to give everybody some context, this is about Jeremy Pruitt.
Oh, God. after Saturday, my God, dude.
Well, he's the current head coach of UT football. He's been wearing a buff, a gator, a multiclava, whatever you want to call it. It's pretty much a tube of material that you can wear a bunch of ways. You can smush it up and you can wear it as a headband. You can wear it as like a snug scarf around your neck and then kind of pull it up around your nose and mouth, like to cover, yeah. to comply with, you know, mask stuff. You could wear it as a small tube top, like the way it's shaped. But he's wearing it like an old Russian lady. So like...
A babushka.
Yes! So picture that you put it on your neck like a scarf, right? And you pull it up to your chin, but you don't even cover your chin. And then you pull the back part up over most of your head, but your whole face is exposed. This doesn't at all cover your face.
Yes.
This does not help the nose and mouth covering that you need to be doing right now for COVID.
It is by far...
It has no purpose.
The least effective way to mask or to wear a face covering.
Yeah. It's like having a mask but wearing it in your pocket.
Yes.
And he has a UT baseball cap underneath, which makes it look even goofier. And his buff is orange and white checkered because, of course, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so here is this dude, the sports dude's post. This is gonna be a lot. Jeremy Pruitt looks like a sentient, circumcised Vol truck stop beer koozie. He looks like a wildly unpopular Fortnite skin called Bubba of Arabia. He looks like a caterpillar about to tuck into a checkerboard cocoon, and when he comes out, he'll be a beautiful pontoon boat. Jeremy Pruitt looks like the loneliest dude at Burning Man. He looks like an undercover cop pulling up to a snowboarding halfpipe, asking where he can get some chronic. He looks like he's about to rob the MAPCO in honor of General Nayland. He looks like the laziest worm in the Trimmers universe. He looks like a well-known Gatlinburg nuisance bear with his head caught in a windsock. That was a highlight. There's so many. Dude. And then at the end, he said, Jeremy Pruitt looks incredible here. I will hear no other opinions.
So I was actually talking to my dad about that. I was like, what the... Because I know that he got, like, the very first game, he was getting really pissed off about... his mask because he couldn't hear the interviewer and like they couldn't hear him and shit. And then the next game he comes out wearing this shit and we were just like, what are you doing?
It doesn't do any good.
I mean, dude, but have you heard this man speak? Like, he probably may or may not be like mentally disabled. Like, I think he's like, I'm not kidding. I think he's like Rain Man of football kind of thing, but I mean, not that good, but you know what I'm saying? That it's like...
Do not insult Rain Man like that. Rain Man had a particular set of skills.
Yes. I thought that was the Taken guy. I have a particular
set
of skills.
This is a different set of skills.
Okay. No, but it's like he is an okay coach. After this past game, I don't know if he's got any synapses firing between his ears, but he seemed to have been a decent coach, but he is... absolutely like an abysmal speaker and like I feel stupid watching him speak, so
I feel like him wearing that like that is the equivalent of you being like, I'll bring your cake, I will make the wedding cake, and you get to the reception and the person has brought you all the ingredients and they don't have an oven.
Yes, that's about like, right.
What?
Yeah.
This isn't what we signed up for, and it doesn't help at all. It's here, but like it's not really here.
God, man, that is ridiculous. Though I'm gonna have to check out this Moon Crew,
dude. I like skipped around because a lot. It seems pretty SEC heavy. Mm-hmm. Like they put a chart out of like football games to watch, and they like made a big like spreadsheet, and it was like here's the times, and it was like if you want to watch any football, this is the game to watch. And then the next category was like, I mean, this is some football. And then the next category was, this is at least some football. Like,
yeah, this it was may or like, may not be football.
Like, this doesn't, don't waste your time.
Jeez, dude, we would have fallen under the third category on Saturday, dude.
I think that was on the middle category. Really? Like, it's worth watching, but it's not top tier.
I mean,
this was pre-game, though.
Yeah. I cannot believe that Pruitt left Garantano in there. I mean, after like him just literally, it looked like he was attempting to lose the game, to throw the fucking game.
I love seeing surprised UT fans because, like, you guys have said this same refrain for 4 years now.
Four?
Isn't this Garantano's 4 year?
Yeah, but we've been saying it.
I'm just saying specifically Garantano.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, totally. Every year it's, I can't believe we played like shit. I can.
No, well, see, that's the funny thing, or that's the most irritating thing about Tennessee football, is the supreme inconsistency of it. Yeah. It's like, dude, we will come out and we will either beat or give, like, a top five team a run for their money.
Yeah.
And then we'll lose to, like, fucking Alabama State.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I'm like, I didn't even know that there was an Alabama State. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's fucking infuriating. But yeah, I'll tell you what it is. It's the definition of insanity. Putting the same shit, doing the same shit every year and expecting a different return.
It is.
But let's talk about, let's get into some UFO stuff.
Oh, please. Yes.
Yeah. So I pulled this one from Fox News because it's one of the only things that's even palatable. this is the 10 best locations in the U.S. for UFO enthusiasts to buy a home.
You love it.
So first of all, we need to explain how they came about this ranking. Basically, all of these places are noted to have at least 27 reported UFO sightings, and some of these areas have more than 100. And this is according to
I wonder how they really like. What do you, who do you tell? Please don't call 911.
No. If you, you need to call your closest ufologist. Sorry, I just left.
Call Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah. The firm, which used data from the National UFO Reporting Center. I guess that's who you call. There's a National UFO Reporting Center.
I'm just staring off at the wall because I don't.
But this is data coming from the National UFO Reporting Center, and they were the ones that basically said, "Hey, in these areas, we've had at least 27 reported UFO sightings, and a lot of these areas have a boatload more than 27."
Mm-hmm.
So then they started breaking it down in regards to, median home price. So do you want to guess?
Oh yeah.
What number one is? Oh, I think you already looked.
Yeah, I saw it. Cause I totally agree with it.
Okay. So number one is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
I mean, I have been to Myrtle Beach.
Well, see, I would just say, so it says number one place in the country to spot an alien. Honestly, that makes sense because I think there are a lot of aliens that live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Yeah.
But it also has the lowest median home price, which is just under $168,000. So
okay.
So it's doable, I guess.
Yeah.
Other cities in the top three are Columbus, Ohio at 174,109, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with a median home price of 187,772.
Philadelphia is insane in so many ways.
I don't think I've ever been to Philly.
Oh, I've not, but yeah. Just so many, like, their sports fans are known to like throw batteries at people.
Yeah, I have heard that shit.
So like the many crazy shit. Philly stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so some of the other places that they looked into that also made it onto the list were from the Southwest. Houston, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Phoenix, Tucson, and Mesa, Arizona. Those are also on there. So then they get into like, they did some like Gallup poll stuff with like UFOs.
Yeah.
And they were basically saying that 61% of people that were surveyed want the U.S. government to declassify the country's so-called X-Files.
Sure.
I mean, I'm for that.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, man, if there's nothing to hide, come on.
Show us the UFOs, you cowards.
Show us the UFOs, you cowards. We're actually running a GoFundMe to Naruto run through Area 51. We're going to try to get that ramp back up. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. But, yeah, so... Pretty wild, dude. Let's see. Last little tidbit from the National UFO Reporting Center. They said that UFO spottings were up 51% year over year, topping 5,000 incidents in September. Dang. I mean, dude, what better way to wrap up 2020 than fucking like have Arrival come true, you know? Did you ever see that?
No, of course not.
God, dude, that was a really fucking good one.
I feel like I know of it.
It was very, very good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I would highly recommend that anyone. We need to actually rewatch that, because it's pretty heavy, so.
I have a list of movies that I should get to at some point, and one of those is that Imitation Game that you told me about.
Ooh, that's fantastic.
I know. I need to get to that. Mm-hmm. And Arrival. I will add to that right now.
Yeah. And I think you dig that. I think it's only like 90 minutes, too.
Oh, that's my jam.
But yeah. But it's really heavy in communication and language and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And so you'd probably... Yeah. That would probably, you know...
Cool.
That'd probably float your boat or find your lost remote.
I've never heard that.
I don't know. It was some rap and like, I think it's like Beastie Boys or something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Throwback. Toss back. What? Throwback. Anyway.
We lost our damn minds.
Yes. Yes, we have for the 30th time this year. Holy hell. So let's talk about apples.
Okay.
Hard pivot.
Apples.
How breeders bring out the best in new apples.
Okay.
I thought this was kind of interesting because we had talked a little bit on a previous pod, I think, previous podcast.
Yeah, we talked about it on here. Okay. I cannot find my notebook.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep looking for it.
Because Allie was saying that she has a notebook that she would sample apple variations and give like short reviews, right?
I was kind of just keeping a list of what I had tried.
Oh, okay.
But I had tried a bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked most of them. So, like, I think I noted if I didn't like them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, which golden apples would totally be on me.
Any of the mealy ones. I like pears in... I don't like just a raw pear.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like them if they're, like, cooked in something or, like, a pear-scented candle or something. But, like, the texture of a pear, bleh.
So, I like pears that are, like, just before they're ripe.
Okay.
So that they're actually kind of hard.
Harder. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like those. But, so I was looking into this and, apparently, the Cornell University has released three new apple varieties. Jeez, the scab resistant. That kind of sounds gross.
That does.
The scab resistant Cordera, the crisp and mild pink luster, and the complexly flavored firecracker.
I want the firecracker.
Right? Yeah, dude. I was like, holy shit. These sound delicioso. So, basically, they were talking about how they have to do the crossbreeding of trees and basically breed out like apples that are, I guess, apples that are either smaller or they're trying to get more disease resistant.
Sure.
Strains and stuff, and
just improve them. Yeah,
yeah, and they're also actually being able to breed in apples that will be basically easier to oh my god, what is it, like pick or harvest? Thank
sure,
god,
sure,
harvest. Jeez, I promise I've had my coffee today. And also this, which I thought this was really cool. They're actually able to breed in into these strains. Basically, it will put less strain on the natural resources on the land that it's growing on.
Yeah.
So it takes less nutrients to grow, kind cool. of thing. So it's not taxing the land, which is, I think that's pretty fascinating.
Dude, I just Googled firecracker apple because I'm like, can I order it? Yeah. I want one. Have you seen it?
Huh.
The flesh is red. The inside of the apple is red.
What?
It looks like...
Oh, wild.
Like a plum or something.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, sorry. No shit. Huh. So this is the other thing that was really wild to me is they basically interviewed this one of the scientists, Dr. Susan Brown, who was she's Cornell's College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. She's a professor there, and she was the pioneer for one of the pioneers for their apple breeding program.
Yeah.
She was quoted as saying, "You plant out apples and it's like they scream. They just want to be diverse." Because this was like what was absolutely bizarre to me. They said that if you take a Macintosh apple and plant the seeds inside of it, the resulting trees won't produce Macintosh apples.
Yeah, I read something about that. Like,
yeah.
Basically, you can't just spread the seeds. You have to, like, splice the tree together, whatever
yeah.
the fuck that's
yeah,
called.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, it's like taking a, and I don't think you can legitimately do this. There is a strategy to it, but, like, taking a branch out of the tree
yeah.
and, like,
it's really
cultivating
something like
that.
That yeah.
kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
yeah. But I never really thought about that. Because, I mean, you always think about, you know, just taking apple seeds out of an apple, tossing them.
Yeah,
you know.
Johnny Appleseed, like yeah. just. But apparently, that's not how it fucking works.
Apparently, that's not, damn you apples. But they were talking about how this apple breeding program, the first one that they were able to successfully grow was called the Snapdragon.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that one?
I don't think so.
Okay. So it took 11 years to, like, breed it to the point to where it produced, like, viable apples on a commercial scale
yeah.
kind of thing, which is absolutely insane to
That's
me.
That's wild.
But, man, I would love to go to, like, Washington and see, like, the orchards and stuff.
Nikki went, and they had an apple, I forget what it's called. She went, like, was that this year?
Mm-hmm.
Fairly recently. Like, right before COVID.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it was, like, maybe in the winter of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just created an apple that, like, the shelf life is, like, over a year.
Yeah.
Before it goes
that
bad.
That was something else that they mentioned.
Yeah.
That, like a life, not life expectancy, but you know what I mean?
Shelf life
shelf
or whatever.
Life.
I don't
yeah,
know if that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
right word either. But, yeah, like, yeah. how long you can get. Because that's the worst thing. Like, I love bananas, but
yeah.
I love bananas when they're just a little bit green.
Yeah.
But that's like a half day window.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to buy them when they're too green. And then by the time I remember to check them, they've started to get the brown spots. And I'm like, that's way past for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Just like a little bit of green.
Yeah.
Yellow. Mostly
yeah.
yellow
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, have you ever had like a green banana?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
it's
just
so
like,
gross.
I should have given that one another day or two.
Yeah. Did you see the, I can't remember, I think we may have covered it on here, or I might have just been like looking at it, potentially going to cover it,
yeah.
but there was this company that put out this thing that you would buy 7 bananas, and they had different ripeness for
each
banana.
So that they would all time out right? Oh,
it was
I like
super
that.
Neat. It was really neat. I can't remember who was doing that, but it was
yeah.
like, it legitimately, it was like for a banana a day, and
yeah.
they basically, you know, obviously the one that you're going to eat on the seventh day is like green.
Kind of that's thing. That I love
but
that.
It was really, it was actually a kind of a neat concept. Yeah. But I just thought that it was really wild to see, to read about how like complicated fucking apple breeding is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, and how difficult it is to actually get to like consistently get a, you know, an apple bearing tree of a certain variety kind of thing.
The it's only like thing that wild. I found just then with the firecracker apple was that you could buy the tree, but you plant it and then it bears fruit in 2 to 3 years. I'm like, jeez. I want to try the fruit, please.
Yeah, seriously. Man, I wonder if you could like contact the like local grocers and be like, hey, like,
you could like put in you a guys gonna
get
or
like
whatever.
Can you guys get like a crate of these or something?
Right, that'd be nice.
I don't know. Yeah, so that's about all that I've got on there or whatever. It was just which one last thing. Thought this was absolutely wild, but this other doctor in Washington, or another scientist, she's at Washington State University, Dr. Kate Evans. She plants about 15,000 to 20,000 unique crossbred seeds a year. A year.
Dang.
That is wild, dude. But anyway, so that's about all I've got. There is a picture of the Snapdragon apple on here, and it just looks absolutely delicious.
I want to be an apple farmer.
I know, right? Jeez. Cool. So that is your Tether Radio Apple update.
I want to cover this sunfish.
Yes, please.
This poor sunfish. Okay, so all these people in Wareham on the southeast coast of Massachusetts, dozens of people last week were calling emergency officials reporting either an injured seal or a shark or a fish that was stranded, but it was just a poor sunfish just trying to live his best life.
So it like beaches itself kind
no,
of thing?
It's floating. Like it's swimming.
Oh.
But it looks funny.
Oh, okay.
Like so
I'm gonna have to get some visual on it.
So it kinda looks like let's say like a silver trash can lid with a big eye on it and like a big dorsal fin and it just kinda flaps.
Oh, I think I know. Yeah, I think I know what that is.
Like they're not pretty.
Yeah.
So it was just it was in a cove. And they do get sometimes stuck in coves, so, like, sometimes they
need
to...
Yeah, it looks kind of jacked.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
It looks like a seal that got caught in a prop or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's just a weird-looking guy. Yeah. Like, it's really big. It eats jellyfish. The fin can resemble a shark fin, so sometimes people get worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they had so many people call about it that the Wareham Department of Natural Resources had to put out a post on Facebook and it said the fish is swimming, it is not stranded or suffering,
it is fine.
They said the sunfish is fine in all caps, and then it added in all caps, please stop calling the police department about this sunfish.
Sorry,
I don't know if that's real.
No,
that's
I don't
huge
think it is.
Yeah,
I hit the mic, my bad, y'all.
But so when you see it, it just looks like this massive fin coming out of the water, and like, we get it, you're concerned, but please don't call 911, you idiots.
Jeez, dude. That is wild, dude. Yeah. Here's another one of a
they get really big. Yeah. Wow,
that is wild, dude.
So
that's hilarious.
This man that they talked to was the harbor master, mm-hmm. Gary Buckminster, and he recalled one summer more than 20 years ago when there was a dorsal fin of a sunfish that freaked everybody out because they thought it was a shark.
Yeah,
and he said it was just this big goofy fish.
Yes,
I love the word goofy.
That's awesome.
They're often described as slow, clumsy swimmers, but that is an unfair characterization.
Yeah,
says Carol Carson, the founder of New England Coastal Wildlife Alliance.
Says Carol Carver, massive sunfish advocate.
She said they're powerful fish and they can dive over 2,500 feet.
Jeez.
Dang, dude.
And you said they eat jellyfish?
Yeah.
I feel like we would want more sunfish.
Yeah, they're good guys. Leave them alone. Yeah. They're not pretty, but they're fine.
Yeah.
They're not going to hurt you.
Just, like you said, dude, he's just living his best
life. He's just trying. But they said, like, really, all they do is they just look at you and, like, they're not going to hurt anybody. They don't do anything. The worst thing they do is spit.
That's kind of interesting. Like out of the water.
Funny. Yeah, like, right. They were trying to rescue one that got stuck in a cove, and
just like,
yeah, it was like spitting at her.
That's awesome.
But yeah, she said pretty much like they're fine, they're healthy, they just wander into the wrong place, and they're just stuck. They, you know, sometimes we gotta get them out.
That's so funny, dude. Well, quit calling about the damn sunfish, you Massachusetts
don't
peeps.
Don't call 911 over, like, yeah, I thank you for being concerned if you think you saw an injured seal, but that's not a 911 call.
No, at all. God, man. I feel like there needs to be, like, more PSAs that it's like, these are appropriate reasons to call 911.
Right.
These are not.
Yeah.
Because Taco Bell is not listed on your local Grubhub marketplace. Please do not call 911.
Listen, I don't know what constitutes an emergency to you.
Dude, can I just tell you that we ate at Taco Bell 3 times this week?
That's a good week.
Like, dude, no. And I have figured out what the perfect amount of food for me is.
Yeah,
a cheesy gordita crunch.
Oh, you love those.
Those are great.
They're so good.
And then just a supreme soft taco.
Sure.
Those two things, man, I'm set.
But do you just get that or do you get more?
Oh, I always get more.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I always end up throwing away stuff.
Oh, I don't throw. I eat it all, then I'm mad.
No, because it, like, I get uncomfortably full.
Okay.
And then I'm just like, well, now I'm, you know, and plus most of the time we're like scarfing it down so that we can go upstairs to watch a movie or something. And I'm like, when I'm breaking into our like 90 minutes to 120 minutes of movie time, plus, Megan starts cracking the whip.
You're supposed to do that whole when you're 80% full, you stop eating.
Yeah, who adheres to that?
I mean, also probably the people that adhere to that don't eat Taco Bell very much.
Yes, yeah.
Talking about shitty food.
Yes.
I mean, good shitty food.
Good shitty food, yeah.
We try to keep a frozen pizza around because you always need a frozen pizza.
Totally.
Recently, I grabbed a DiGiorno croissant crust.
That sounds very interesting.
We had it last night, and let me tell you what. It was so good.
Really?
It tastes pretty normal. Like it's like a good crust, but it's pretty normal. But the edge, the crust part, is like, it starts like coming apart in layers because it's croissant.
Ooh.
It was so good.
God, I would
probably
like
go ahead and put another in the fridge today.
Yeah.
Freezer.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we, at this point, we're trying to like pare down what we have. So
so you don't have to move the food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, honestly, we need to get, I've never even heard of a croissant.
I hadn't either. I just saw it the other day at the store.
I like the different variations, though.
Dude,
the crust variations. I can't get with the stuffed crust.
No, I don't like stuffed crust, but I'll eat the pizza and just let Jesse have the crust.
Yeah.
But like, dude, that was so good. And it wasn't crazy expensive. It was like DiGiorno level expensive.
Dude.
But DiGiorno is so good.
It really is. Ugh. I mean, they deserve their place as number one in, you know, frozen pizzas.
And plus, like I'm fine with, like, a Tombstone, but for a couple of dollars more, I can get a DiGiorno? Come on.
I'll tell you what's not really worth it is the Screamin' Sicilian ones.
Yeah, I had that once, and it was...
It's okay, but it's like, dude, it's like $10 for a pizza. And I'm like, no.
It's not that good.
Not at all.
No.
God, and I'll tell you who else sucks in regards to flipping price for what you get.
Yeah.
Uncle Matteo's is garbage. Megan and I could not make up our minds as to what we wanted last night.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, just order an Uncle Matteo's and I'll go down and grab it or whatever. So we got a medium supreme.
Okay.
Take a stab at how much that was.
Oh God. I don't know.
It was $24.
What?
Yeah.
Is there gold on it?
No. And that was the thing. Is I was like, and I tipped like 10% or something like that. Because I was going to pick up my own damn pizza. Whatever. But like, I was absolutely, like, she was like, oh, that'll be like, you know, 22 blah, blah, blah or whatever.
You're like, no,
and
I just ordered one.
I was like, it's, For a medium pizza? Like, what?
A Supreme's not that crazy either.
No, like, it was like five toppings or something like that. Yeah. It's a medium pizza and it wasn't that good.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was wild. But so Uncle Matteo's, you need to... Well, honestly, I thought they were closing. And then all of a sudden, they weren't closed.
I'll tell you what is worth the money is Blaze. Do you ever go there?
I don't know if we've ever been to Blaze, actually.
It's so good.
Really?
And it's like... I don't know. Like, it's either $7.99 or $8.99 for, like, a personal pizza, but it's good size.
Yeah.
And that's whatever fucking toppings you want on it.
I mean, that's appropriate, all the meats, all the cheeses. Yeah.
If you want extra of anything...
Rock and roll. That's
great.
How it should
and it's
be.
Good quality shit. Like, I got like goat cheese. Yeah. Like, it's good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to try out
Blaze. Man, I don't have Blaze
today. Yeah. Well, we just found out that there's a Hard Knocks.
I saw that the other day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Stefano's.
That's basically across the street from that Pokeball place.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know
what
you're talking about.
Yeah.
Huh,
oh,
okay.
That Pokeball place.
The Pokeball. I've never had a Pokeball, man.
Oh, dude.
But
if you like sushi.
Sounds... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, it's so good.
We love it. Yeah. And I'm sorry. This is, like, not good radio because we're basically just, like, flip-flopping food recommendations to each other. I promise, though, Nathan, we're working on... we will put on the back burner... Just a food episode
yes.
or something. So, and we'll come with some recipes and stuff. We should do a, like our favorite winter recipes for an Untethered.
Yeah, man, I'm making a note right now.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
Yeah.
Yes. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, Inaba over
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Half off sushi Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Monday's tuna, Tuesday's salmon.
Yeah.
Dude, Megan and I got 6 rolls of sushi. $34 out the door.
It's wild, yeah.
And I was like,
good.
It is really good
stuff. They make their own ginger ale.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
it
cool.
will knock your socks off.
Is it
off.
Really spicy?
It's so spicy.
That's cool.
It's,
I like that.
It's great, but it's so much.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. You want to talk about caffeine consumption in the world?
Sure.
Let's do it.
You're most of it.
My God, dude. I'm telling you. I'm like... halfway through this and I can see my blood pressure, so I probably need to stop drinking it, but yeah, so this was kind of surprising to me, but not that surprising. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll just hit you with some facts. How
yeah.
about that? First of all, do you want to guess what continent consumes the most coffee?
Europe.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
okay.
is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
It feels very European.
It does, because you think, when I think of stereotypical coffee consumption,
yeah.
I think of like a cafe in like Paris.
Yeah, that's what I was
going
to say.
That,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But France is not number one.
No.
So per capita, the number one in the world in regards to coffee, I'm sorry, pounds of coffee per capita
okay.
is Finland.
Have you heard the whole thing that Finland's not real?
No.
Have you heard that? There's a whole conspiracy theory.
Out. Is this QAnon again?
No, but it's on that that chart that you sent me of all the weird conspiracies.
Oh,
it was on there.
Yes.
I don't know
I,
much about it. I
no,
just know that it's a thing.
I remember reading something on like of whatever top conspiracy theories
yeah.
or something
yeah.
like that. But
Sorry, Finland.
No. So per capita, so this is also including non-caffeine drinkers and children.
Sure.
So the number is probably higher.
Right.
And significantly higher. 26.45 pounds of coffee per year.
Dang.
That's a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like, how many cups of coffee do you think are in a pound of coffee?
I don't know, because I don't like... I buy already made iced coffee, or
gotcha.
I buy it by the cup at
you guys
like
don't
a Starbucks
brew
or something.
Coffee at home at all?
We've got some hot coffee,
yeah.
and we like he might make it like maybe a Saturday out of a month.
Yeah,
but I don't usually end up drinking it.
That is like the perfect Saturday.
Yeah,
getting up
yeah,
and
yeah,
just
yeah.
like not being in a hurry,
yeah.
getting a cup of coffee and just like chilling.
Yeah,
Oh, I love that.
I bought some hot tea yesterday. That was another cozy thing that I bought. Yeah. I think I'm going to start drinking some of that. Like, yeah. I think tea is more my thing for hot stuff.
Dude, a good cup of Earl Grey. Love it. all right. So, let's see. The Scandinavian neighbors of Finland also, and this was a really weird sentence, so I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
Though Finland is the undisputed champion, its Scandinavian neighbors guzzle bitter bean juice at high rates, too. That made me mildly like...
I love when people call it bean juice.
Bitter bean juice. But oh, you know what? That's impossible.
That's a good title.
Bitter bean juice.
Ugh.
Possible title for this episode. So... In general, Europe appears to be more caffeinated than any other continent. Of all 25 countries on the list, only 5 are located elsewhere. Those 5 being Canada, Brazil, Cyprus, Lebanon, and the United States.
Hmm.
Which is really funny because the United States is number 25.
Dang.
Which is pretty... Well, I don't know. Like I said,
I forget Cyprus even is a country.
Yeah. I mean, but it also is per capita.
Yeah.
So I would think, I would like to know of caffeine drinkers.
Yeah.
How much is consumed, like,
yeah,
a year kind of thing. That would be an interesting.
And they're just counting, are they counting all caffeine or just coffee?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. This is okay. Pounds of coffee per year.
Because I would say America drinks the most soda.
Oh my God, like, yes.
Probably by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
You know?
Every time I think of that, I think of being on rotations for pharmacy.
Yeah.
And, like, legitimately people being, like, coming into hospitals with small children.
Yeah.
And, like, knocking the lid off a bottle and dumping a dew in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, my kidneys hurt for your child.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
It's just absolutely wild,
oh,
dude.
It's so and bad.
Look no further than Memphis, man, because
yeah.
I swear, dude, everybody in Memphis, it seemed like, either drank like gallons of McDonald's tea.
Yes.
Or just like gallons of sodas.
I think it's just that McDonald's tea is cheap and it grows on people after a while. They're like,
is it good? I don't
know.
I mean, I've heard that it's just like...
It is so sugary.
That's what I've heard.
It's so much sugar.
I had a professor in school that, dude, every lecture she had, she had like that, like...
The giant jug of
you know, tea. Ugh. Oh, man, it was wild.
Yeah.
So here's a real quick rundown of top 5.
Okay.
Finland, 26.45. Norway, 21.82. Iceland, 19.84. Wow, that's actually...
That's a big jump.
A big jump.
Yeah.
Huh. Denmark at 19.18, and the Netherlands at 18.52.
Hmm.
United States is at 9.26 pounds per capita.
That's so much lower than...
That's almost 20 pounds lower than number one.
Wow.
So, that is wild, dude.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's about all I got in regards to talking about cups of mud. Have you ever seen that shit that they used to have called Joggin' in a Jug?
No.
Please look this up.
Oh, God.
My mom and dad used to talk about this shit that was like... I don't even remember what the fuck it was, but it was like a blend of shit that was supposed to be healthy for you. Yeah.
This says it's apple cider vinegar, red grape juice, and apple juice.
But they said it was so bad. It was so fucking gross. Jogging in a jug.
Oh, and honey. I don't want that. Why is it called jogging? Oh, because it's supposed to be healthy.
Yeah.
It's
supposed to like help you burn fat, I guess, or something. So I think it really just makes you vomit. So it's like any food you did consume, you're not going to get the nutrients out of it. So.
Oh, man. Oh, the reviews. The reviews are so good. A doctor recommended this for my husband years ago. No, he didn't. Like, maybe a chiropractor did.
I don't think... Yeah, no shit.
My leg and hip pain has gone. Good.
Oh, great. My God.
Great. Believe that.
Amazing.
Oh. Let's talk about how our music tastes are all fucked up this year.
Yes, okay. Let's.
So I found this on Vice. A lot of it's really anecdotal, but it's still interesting. This dude that wrote this piece, he asked his Twitter followers, have your music taste and listening habits changed over the last 6 or 7 months? And, like, a lot of people DM'd him to go into more detail and stuff, so you can't really just read the thread to get all of it. But he wrote a pretty cool article. He said a lot of people, like, either changed, like, they got into metal and hardcore, or they went away from metal and hardcore, and now they only listen to, like, ambient and jazz and stuff. One guy said, I used to be a rock and metal dude, and now I only listen to jazz and ambient. And then a girl said, now I have to play music nonstop. I think I'm using it as a way to drown out my thoughts or to prevent my brain from wandering down a dark rabbit hole. Both those are extremely me.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, dude.
I have to have some, like, I can't just read in silence anymore. Really? At all. Like, I have to have some kind of noise going on.
If I'm just, like, at the house, honestly, the radio is on at our house.
Yeah.
Probably 95% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless I'm, like, reading.
Yeah.
And then I don't care if music's on.
I've got to have, like, something that's not, like, lyrics.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
but yeah, so he talked to a music therapist. She works at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Mm-hmm. It's a weird name.
that is a mouthful. Yeah. That's what that was.
Her name is Jessica Porenfar.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
I know. When I said it, I was like, that sounds like a bartender. So she uses music to treat patients that have stress, anxiety, physical pain, sleep deprivation, Alzheimer's, and other ailments.
Mm-hmm.
She uses live music interventions and guided relaxation. And, like, it sounds like there's a lot of science behind music therapy and stuff, and it seems pretty cool. And she's like, it's different than just being like, this album is my therapy. it's a whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But she said that music activates all these different areas of your brain at the same time. So parts that involve emotion, memory, language, and motor. And it also activates dopamine, and that gives you pleasure. It can lower cortisol levels, which lowers your stress.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said that the speed and volume of music and certain genres create various physiological responses in humans where our heart rate and respiration rate can change. And she said basically, like, you also have to watch what can cause you harm, mm-hmm. because if it triggers, like, a bad memory or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
One guy wrote in and said he's started running again because he's antsy from being inside so much. Mm-hmm. And then running gets him to listen to hardcore, noisy music that he never listens to at home.
Yeah.
And The guy that wrote the article said he saw a lot of replies about listening to loud, aggressive, fast-paced music during the pandemic, but he got just as many of people who are now doing ambient, jazz, soothing instrumental shit.
Yeah.
And the music therapist pretty much said, like, you just want to find the sweet spot that mirrors your mood and your body instead of just being like, I am anxious, this will calm me down. Sometimes it makes you more anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to listen to something that's more like your mood and then gradually switch it over?
Yeah. Huh.
I don't have the energy for that.
No, honestly. So I used to listen to a decent bit of, like, Weezer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now I basically just listen to Papa Roach, Last Resort, and Aqua Barbie Girl.
I hate you so much. I was really like, oh yeah, what do you listen to now?
What do you listen to now, asshole?
there was a guy that works in a bookstore and said that now his job is pretty much, it's a fulfillment center,
uh-huh.
so he can wear headphones all day because he's just putting together orders.
Yeah.
And he said, now I've learned to enjoy and appreciate metal for keeping momentum on really tedious days. And then a musician wrote in and said that she stopped listening to music altogether and she only listens to podcasts
because
music makes her too emotional. And she's trying to get rid of all her feelings. Jeez. Podcasts make her feel like people are around her talking about inane stuff.
I completely get that, dude.
Yeah.
And especially, and it has especially been apparent with the pandemic and having a child.
Yeah.
Because obviously I can't sit Finn down and be like, Finn, let me tell you why dad's having a hard day today.
Yeah, you know?
It's like, most of the time these days, I'll listen to, you know, whatever, No Agenda, yeah. my Dad Wrote a Porno, yeah. you know, you'll toss me some recommendations yeah. from different stuff that you've heard.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I'm listening to these days. Yeah. And music is really just reserved for kind of the weekend or like if we're having people over or yeah. whatever like that. But like,
music for me now is basically background noise. Mm-hmm. Like otherwise, like even when I'm in the car, I'm usually listening to a podcast. If I'm like doing something at work or at home, anything mm-hmm. like if I'm reading or doing something involved that I have to really think about, then I can't listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like I have to have some kind of sound pretty much all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Definitely. That was just growing up as a Bradley, to be honest with you. It's ridiculous. Megan, Joseph and I have basically wrecked our wives because they both came from very quiet families.
I did, yeah.
And then they married us, yeah. and when we're not yelling about random shit, we're listening to shit way too loud.
Sure,
and like watching movies, Megan's family would have it like barely audible, and I'm like, if I can't feel the bass from my subwoofer, it is not turned up loud enough. but yeah, it's just, and she's like, damn you, now like being at home, I have to turn the radio on or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like I just have to have
like silence is terrible.
Yeah. I started, and I told you the other day, I started listening to like some old Death Cab.
Mm.
This week I started listening to Alien Ant Farm's album from like yeah. 01 or yeah, whatever it was. Yeah. It's still so good.
Dude, it's fun stuff and oh, it's man. Nostalgic.
I know. Mean, like I have a pop punk playlist that yeah. I've made, and I don't know, it's like 7 or 8 hours
yeah.
worth of
yeah.
stuff I've listened to for 20 years.
Oh yeah.
And I just put it on repeat, like
yeah.
if I'm in the car but just gonna be in the car for 10 minutes and I don't want to sync up a podcast or something. Yeah. Like I'm just like, why do I like there are new pop punk bands that I know I would like, yeah. but I don't have the energy to focus on new stuff. So I'm like, here's a song I know.
No, well, and honestly what I need to do is I need to connect my headphones to like my computer or something yeah. and then start getting back into like Spotify.
Yeah.
Because one of my buddies, thank you, Matt. one of my buddies gave me a login for Spotify.
Yeah.
And so which has been amazing.
I love Spotify.
And at this point, if I got kicked off that, I would have to get a like Spotify.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
honestly, we'd probably look into that Spotify Hulu combo yeah. thing or yeah. whatever. But yeah, so but yeah, new music wise, most of the time I'm either just listening to stuff that I already knew about
yeah.
or like occasionally Joseph will send me stuff.
Man, like
you know?
Before this year I would kind of seek out new music, and like Spotify does this thing where it sends you like your year in review mm-hmm. and it's always really cool to see, because every fucking year it'll be like, you listen the most to Fall Out Boy, and I'm like, I know. Like I'm kind of sorry, but yeah. but like it's neat to see that. Like last year I wore out Billie Eilish's CD when it came out uh-huh. and this year, I know it's just gonna be a fucking mess. Like, I'm not even gonna look at it. Because
yeah.
it's seriously gonna be, like, artists that I don't know. Like, I know there's one called Sleepy Fish, because I think that's a funny name. But they're yeah. just, like, ambient chill hop, yeah. lo-fi beats to study and sleep to.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what, ultimately, I've listened to all year.
Spotify's gonna contact us and be like, you're either a parent or a pedophile, because you have listened to the Frozen soundtrack and the Moana soundtrack a fucking zillion times.
Dude, there's like a ton of people that are just obsessed with Disney, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Well, cool. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't surprise me in the least, though, about like...
No, I think a lot of people have just... And they did link a thing, and I'll throw it in the newsletter, that mm-hmm. was just like, here are 26 albums that you might have overlooked this year that are some new stuff you could check out. And
mm-hmm.
they looked really weird, just really? Flipping through like the album art and stuff. I'm like, these are strange.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll give some of them a shot.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Cool. And then that will be posted in the newsletter
yep.
if you, the listeners, would also like to check those albums out. So,
yep.
I've got one last like quick mention.
Okay.
Just about the Animal Crossing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, yeah, I guess we'll wrap. I thought this was just really cool. It's very innovative. I don't know what effect it's really going to have, yeah. but I still think it's really neat.
Yeah.
So we talked about a little bit that that Joe Biden's campaign has created a presence on Animal Crossing. And I thought that it was just going to be like one of these things that it was just like, oh yeah, look, here's a, you know, Joe Biden flag or whatever. Yeah. No,
that a little while back.
Yes.
They did do that, yeah.
They have expanded this to, like, the nth degree kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they now have, like, where your house would be, they have it divided into a field office for the Biden-Harris team.
Oh my God.
And it says, it's so funny, the captions are great.
Yeah.
Stressed out staffers can hang out in the ACNH Biden-Harris field office. And it legitimately looks like a field office for like a campaign.
I love that.
And then they have like, they have a bunch of gear that you can actually, once you unlock like the customization stuff for clothes.
Yeah.
You can get these clothes that are, you know, have like Biden Harris, Team Joe, all that stuff. I mean, they have just embraced this to the, you know, to the fullest extent. They have another little room and it says Biden's love for trains is on display at Biden HQ. And they have like a little room with like train, like model trains and stuff. It was just really neat to me because I feel like we're slowly moving into this world where advertising is coming over into the video game world.
Yeah.
Even like Fortnite was having fucking concerts.
Oh yeah.
Like real concerts.
Like huge big concerts. Yeah.
So I don't know. Having been a gamer my entire life, I think that this is going to be fascinating, and I'm kind of interested to see what comes of it.
Yeah,
you know, just
and part of me, I'm like, oh, this is kind of dumb. This is a waste. But I'm like, it's neat. It got us talking about it
completely. Yeah, no, and it's one of these things that it's really neat to see political candidates and stuff just using different strategies.
Yeah.
I mean, dude.
Just because, like, no, like, this is not going to win you the election.
Mm-hmm.
But is it going to maybe sway a couple people that are like, hey, guess what? He's more in touch with people than some other candidates are. You know?
No, I completely agree.
And it's just, like, why not have a little damn fun with it?
Well, exactly.
Like them selling the fly swatters.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, no, exactly. Exactly. And I think that that's, honestly, I think that that's really what it comes down to. I hope that people are looking at this and being like, you know what? Maybe we're taking life way too fucking serious.
Exactly.
It's like, maybe we need to loosen up a little bit, you know?
Quit worrying about your mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Agenda.
Yeah. It's just, but anyway, I felt that it deserved a mention because I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that that's about, oh yeah, and one last thing.
Yeah.
They had like a little area of the map that was set up as a voting polling station or whatever. And they have like little poll stations or whatever. Dude, it's just cute.
That's
it's cute shit. So, but anyway, so, if you want to visit this island, you can do that. So grab a pen and paper or your phone or whatever, and type in this dream code. It is DA-7286-5710-7478. So, yeah.
I bet you can Google it and find it too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. Yeah. But we want them to take it from the podcast,
sure,
right?
Sure, yes, so. Yes.
but anyway, so go check out Team Biden's Animal Crossing headquarters. So
yeah,
I'm looking at the time, and we are slightly over, but whatever. You know,
I think we've done it.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
So this is Tether Radio episode 120.
Man,
we are just cranking them out left and right. So let me go ahead and take off my athleisure and put on my dancing shoes.
Just some other athleisure. Some dancing shoes.
Yes. Let me put on some athleisure with pockets. Yeah, let us know what you guys thought about the episode. Let us know any recommendations, criticism, feedback, any of that stuff. Send it to tetherradio@gmail.com. That is TETHERRADIO@gmail.com. We are on Jack Dorsey's Twitter sphere at @tether_radio. We haven't been shadow banned yet, so Instagram, same damn handle, @tether_radio. Facebook, all one word, Tether Radio. We've got the Tether Radio After Dark Facebook group. Keep the memes coming, y'all.
Love it.
It is amazing.
It's so fun.
Yeah, and I love when one of us stumbles across something that it's like, pick your favorite blah.
Oh my god, the ghost thing killed me. That was so good.
So join that. It is a closed Facebook group, so...
But we'll let you in.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally, totally. We'll let you and any of your friends in. Just keep it civil. But we also have the Read with Tether Facebook group. Allie, you want to give a little blurb about what we got planned for that?
We are reading Leave the World Behind by Rumon Alam. I am probably mispronouncing this lovely man's name, but he sounds pretty cool.
Oh, did you sit in on that thing?
I did not, and I got mad.
Yeah.
Because, first off, it was free, but you had to buy a ticket, and you had to do it through Eventbrite, so I did that, and then it told me my password was wrong, but it wasn't, so I had to reset it, and then I get there, and then you have to download Zoom, and I'm like, you know what? No. Now I'm just mad. I'm just mad.
Yeah.
Of all the things, I don't want to do Zoom.
No.
And so I
don't like Zoom.
And I was just,
yeah.
And I was just done. I didn't feel like thinking about anything that night.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Did you say you started it?
I did start it. I'm like 6% kind of thing.
Okay.
It's obviously hasn't picked up because I'm 6% in.
Sure.
But there was like one part that we'll talk about in the book club.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, why is he talking so much about this?
Yeah.
Because it was just weird.
What's he talking about?
A grocery list.
That's weird.
And I mean, literally, it's two pages of talking about.
Is this American Psycho?
Yeah. I was just, and I was like, okay, you could have just said that she went to the grocery.
Sometimes stuff like that comes back into play later, and you'll be like, oh, that's why you bought pears.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, literally, it's an itemized, like,
that's weird.
Like this many of this, and some of this, the 2 pounds of this, and. It was strange, but
okay.
Yeah.
Now I wonder how that's going to play.
I know.
It might not be any. It might just be like character building where you're he's meticulous. I get it.
I like how he's described the family.
Cool. Okay.
And how he's like fleshing out those characters.
Yeah.
It seems pretty cool.
I think it talks some about like racism and stuff because just like the couple that show up who say it's their house, they're black, and the mom of the family is like, I'm not even ready yet, this is just from like really overview synopsis stuff, but the mom is like, I mean, it's not that I'm racist, but like I just can't imagine a black family being well off enough to own this place. And I'm like, dang, lady.
What?
So I think there's some but I think there'll be plenty to talk about.
Real quick, you want to give like a little overview of
There's a family, they go to like a remote part of Long Island for a week-long vacation, and they get a knock late at night, and it's this black couple that says that it's their house. They just rent it out, but New York City is in some kind of crazy blackout, and then they're like, we just want to stay here, like, if that's okay, and it's just a lot about, like, how much you can trust your own family and how you react in some sort of weird crisis and uncertainty and stuff. And I've heard it's kind of a little difficult to read since it's a pandemic right now, I feel like we're all trying to adjust and we'll probably be fine. But
hell, it'll just make it feel more normal.
Right. It seems pretty cool though. It's getting a ton of like buzz and a ton of good reviews and stuff. So I think it'll be cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, and we've got that slated for November 11th, I believe.
Yes,
and we
decided moved it to a Wednesday, so a few more of the fam can join in.
Yeah.
So Wednesday the 11th of November, so you still got plenty of time to read that. That's, like three more weeks?
Yeah.
But it should be cool. We'll have an online chat at 8 o'clock Eastern time, so wherever you are, just please don't be naked if you have your video on.
Yeah. Dude, I totally saw a video of some guy that had set his computer up. He's in class taking a shower.
No!
And, I mean, like, you can only see from, like, his chest up kind of thing, but he's like...
Oh, then sure.
They stop the class, and the teacher's like, hello, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Like, what? It was pretty funny. But, anywho, so yeah, so grab a copy of Leave the World Behind. Get ready for November 11th. That is a Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
And we always have a good time talking about just like what we thought about the book and stuff. You don't have to be some scholar.
We try to take some notes just so that we've got basically conversation starters and shit.
Just shit that sticks out in your head, like the grocery list or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So. Cool. So we got that going on. We've got Allie's newsletter that she puts together every week. It goes out the morning before the episode posts.
Yeah, well,
the morning that it posts.
Yeah.
And you can sign up for that at tetherradio.substack.com or by going to our pinned tweet. It's always, like, a fun read. I don't see it until you guys see it, so it's always fun.
I have a good time rounding up weird stuff to put in there.
Yeah. And then we also have, last but not least, Tether Radio Untethered. That is every Thursday. For the month of October, we're just doing spooky recommendations and stuff. And then we're going to move into some other stuff after that. So if you have any recommendations or stuff that you'd like for us to cover for that, also send it to tetherradio@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So this has been episode 120 of the Tether Radio Podcast. I'm Daniel.
I'm Allie.
And we thank you so much for lending us your ear for right around an hour and a half, hour 45, something like that. Tell your friends, tell your family, all that jazz about the Tether Radio Podcast. Drop us a rating or review if you do not mind. Those are very helpful for us. And we just want to thank you guys once again for coming back week after week. We always look forward to talking to you guys. So, until then, take it easy, friendos.